You may want to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, for your grace and presence, and Spirit of God, to honor yourself. That's what we're looking for. In all the things going on, in all that's happening, honor yourself. And our God, that's our prayer. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our going through, looking at the book of Hebrews, remember, our Lord in chapter 2, pick up to get there, chapter 2, and in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So verse 14, he took on human flesh, a full human perfect body. And in particular, he did that in opposition to opposing verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. So he didn't become an angel. Angels are all created at the same time. They're all guilty. When they sin, they are all guilty. There is no redemption. But for Adam, in Adam were all human beings. So he became a human. Chapter 5. And in particular, he qualified. Remember the question we shared together? The question is, could God be a high priest? He could, but he couldn't in himself. But if he put on him, not angels, because you can't save angels, but took on him the human, a perfect human body, perfect human, that he could be a high priest. A priest has to identify both sides. God could only identify God's side. But God in Christ can identify both sides. He's the perfect one. Now, in order to make sure the Jewish people that are reading this, people that knew the Old Testament, people that think about priesthood and representatives, which are most religions. The Muslims have different people head up, and the Jews head up, and the Protestants and the Catholics head up, heads, got to have heads to represent. And so our Lord becomes a man, comes into the place to perfectly represent us humans. And he does so as a human. So the people that are looking, is he qualified? Yes, he's qualified. No question, he's qualified. So when we come to chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken among men is ordained for men, in things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He has to represent and bring to God all the requirements to atone, to pardon, to appease. He has to be able to bring that to God. So as a human, he has to bring that on behalf of humans. Okay, that's what the priest has to do. Verse 2, who can have compassion also, we shared that word together, compassion, treatment, modified treatment, to slow down your anger, to pardon, to treat gently, etc. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? We shared that. Leviticus chapter 4, etc. The sin, God covers the sin of ignorance when he died on the cross. Willful sin, stupid sin, ignorant sin. Christ died for all of it. He took and covered us from every aspect. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? And the priest has to understand humanity. In other words, you have to understand, do you understand what humans go through? You, Aaron and his sons are humans. And if they exercise their humanity properly, they're going to understand human fault, human frailty, human failure. They're going to understand this. I need to understand it. You need to understand it. That's how we have compassion. I have to be able to understand what it's like, what people go through, how they go through, etc., etc. The priest has to do that. Priest just can't say, I don't know, they're awful people. I'm going to be a priest. No, you can't. You can't do that. You better understand those people. So when you go before God, you're bringing their thought, their problems and everything, you're bringing that before God. Now, so therefore, who can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, weakness. The priest has the same problems as we just mentioned. And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, he needs to come to God with sacrifice, atonement, to pardon, for forgiveness. He has to come for the people who need it. But he also, end of verse 3, he has to come for himself to offer for sin. So Aaron had to offer his sacrifice, and then he turned around and offered their sacrifice. He always has to do it for himself. That's the human priesthood. Verse 4. No man taketh this honor unto himself. That's the first part. No one takes this honor unto himself. The second part. But he, in contrast, but he that is called of God as one Aaron. You can't take the honor unto yourself. That's one of the qualifications. Second qualification, you don't get the job because you want it. God appoints you to the job. So two things. You can't do it of yourself, and you can't appoint yourself. That someone else has to appoint you. Is this true? Yes. So we go from that thought to verse 5. So also, Christ did not call himself, he did not make himself a priest. So he also glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He did not do that. God appointed him. So before he was born, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, before he was born, biblically, God has spelled out, so when he's born in Bethlehem of Judea, what are you expecting? Is he qualified? Yes. And God has said it all the way along. That's why the Old Testament points to the New. What do we find in the New? The wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, therefore, is this quote, here's the quoting, we quote the Old Testament because it's all about the New Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament are all about God in Christ. So therefore, the end of verse 5, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. That's in Psalm 2. And he quotes again, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So all this has been said to be understood. So when he's born in Bethlehem of Judea, There's no question of who he is. He had to be born of the Scripture, die of the Scripture, rise again according to the Scripture, all of that which is the gospel. Now, hold your finger, we'll go, no, well, you can hold your finger, but over to Psalm 2. We'll actually look at them this time. All kinds of quotes, but this time, thank you. And you will note, please, if I can, picking up, please, Psalm 2, picking up, please, in verse 7. And you'll see it. I will declare the decree. Remember, this has to do with the second coming. And going to judge the world at his second coming. Psalm 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree that the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And the Lord, remember, baptism, etc., Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Over and over again. So you know, question is, did God call? The priest has to be, you can't take the job on your own. God has to assign that job, as it were, to you. Christ was assigned the job. Psalm 110. And in Psalm 110, you will note, picking up, in Psalm, all of these are Messianic Psalms. And you can go straight down, you'll catch it. Verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So God, you have to guess, is he qualified? Absolutely, he's qualified. He's the high priest. He didn't appoint himself to the job. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea for the job. He's the high priest, called of God, as was Aaron. Now, back over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews, if I can, picking up, please. In chapter 4, chapter 5, we read, verse 6, we read, Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek, Psalm 110, etc. Now, so when we come now, what else? What else about it? Is he qualified to be the high priest? Is he qualified as a human? We read that in chapter 2, verse 14, 16. Is he qualified? He took on him the nature. He didn't take on him the nature of angels. He took on human form, a human body, perfect human body without sin. He did that. He's qualified to be the high priest. That's all going to be driven home for the next warning. Now, so as we keep going, verse 7. And in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard and that he feared God. So A, his humanity, as we shared last all those times before, his humanity, perfect humanity, was able to experience perfectly, what it's like to be not perfect. Because all the effects of not being perfect, you enjoy what? The lack of perfection. He was perfect Son of God, perfect humanity. And he related to humans perfectly. And perfect humans aren't perfect. Humans are very faulty. So he's having to bear, Remember, he must have compassion. Compassion on the people you represent as the high priest. Could he have compassion? Perfectly. He perfectly knew. I can say I understand your problem, and you can say you understand my problem. But boy, we're limited when we say that. I say, I've had that pain. See, and you've had that pain. True, but I can't compare that. But he could. He could perfectly do it in a most wonderful way. So he's the perfect high priest because he suffered. He went through all of these things. And in going through them, in the process, he bore and suffered them. So in the light of that, if you think of that, think of going over to Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, you're going to recall the high point. The high point. When he went into the, when he left the upper room, think of what we're doing in the study of John, John chapter 17. He's going to go out the door into the garden to the trial, to the crucifixion. And here is the accounting of going to the garden, out the door, into the garden. Therefore, verse 26, 37, he took on him, took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, and said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. I'm going to go. My hour has come. I'm going to be crucified. Why are you going to be crucified? Because I'm going to take your sin and my sin, our sin in his own body on the tree, being sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now they were given a stone's throw away to sit there and what? Now they couldn't go where he was going in the middle of the garden. He knelt down. They're over here. And in the process, he is very conscious. He's been with it. He knows humanity. He knows the problems. It's one thing to perfectly understand human imperfection, human fault and frailty. It's one thing to experience that and see it. It's another thing to experience it. And he's going to go to the cross, and he knows, drink the cup. He knows what that means. I'm going to take all the dumb stuff in us human beings, I'm going to take it in my own body to the cross. I'm going to take it to the cross. That is an experience. That's an experience. They're there listening, and as you know. And therefore, he went a little further and fell on his face, verse 39, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and finding them asleep. Now that's so. We try to experience that. I'm going to go and we, us humans, we're just human. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. He saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you not stay awake? But it was such a sobering thing, and they just couldn't. They already had, remember now, they're coming from the upper room, John 17. They're very discouraged already. The world is coming to an end. So what's happening in the garden has overwhelmed them, and they're just worn out from all of this experience of what they were going through. Therefore, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the spirit is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and let them finish their nap. He let them finish. Stay asleep. Wow. Now, having got that part, he hasn't drunk the cup yet, but he's qualified. So when we come to chapter 27, chapter 27, we're on the cross, and you recall, so you put this together in your mind, Matthew 27, picking up, please, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, that's noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. So God just blanketed, remember, if you have, probably you haven't seen that for a while, and we haven't seen a lot of things for a while. It used to be when you had a casket, people had a very fancy casket or a dull casket. It wouldn't make any difference. They'd put the black pall over the casket. So when you look at the casket, all you see is that black cloth. No matter what, a $10,000 casket or a $2 casket, if there was such a thing. And it's covered. It's covered. God, how did you do it? I covered it. I covered the whole area with a black pall. Darkness. Darkness. In the middle of the day. At noontime, darkness. There's records of this, you know, in the history, little different things pop up. You say, well, how come they said that in that history book, you see? Now, so in Matthew 27, and then you're familiar, of course, with verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? That's the question. Why? Now he knew why. Why? He had to bear the sin of the world. But in those 3 hours, he literally experienced death. You'll pick it up in the morning, all kinds of things, I hope, in the process. He hadn't experienced. He was fully, wonderfully alive with God, perfectly human, bearing the suffering and sorrow of the world around him. But in that, in the first 3 hours, he did it. But then those last 3 hours, then he was ready after 3 hours hanging there. He was now ready for God to judge him for the sin of the world. He took our sin, the cup he didn't want to drink. He took that cup and went and had to have the whole sin from Adam all the way to the end of the millennium. He took all of those, all us humans, all of the sin in all of the world, in all of forever, for X. He took it in his own body in the tree. And therefore, God, for his perfect, not God the Son, I can't separate that, but God, in his perfect humanity, in Christ Jesus, God could, if you can separate, God left, and the perfect humanity of our Lord experienced being forsaken by God. God isn't far away. But God has to leave him. And in those 3 hours, he bears without God what it's like to be without God, to be forsaken and have all the pain and anguish of being forsaken. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, back over to Hebrews. And you would recall, in the process of him doing that, verse 7, though he were a son, he's the Son of God, but He's the perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned to learn. The word learn is like in Matthew 11 and 29. Get your learning from me, to experience something, to experience it, not just to look at it in a notebook, to experience it. That's the word. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned, he experienced, in order to be able to understand, he experienced he obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience, now hang on to that. That's another thing you need to think about. Obedience. What's obedience? Okay, he was obedient to God. What was his, remember what he, you catch it. We just read it. Matthew 27. Not my what? Not my will be done, but your will. That's obedience. I could do, my will would be to do something else. But obediently, God, what is your will? What is your plan? To look to you. And that's what I did. He was obedient. Hold your finger here and just slide over to Philippians for a moment. And in Philippians in chapter 2, you would recall verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, like God, thought it robbery to be equal with God. He was God. But being God, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form, same word as in verse 5. What form did he take this time? Of a servant. The word servant is the word doula, slave. He became the lowest level of all humans, slave. He became a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, not my will, but thy will be done, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he had to become obedient. He had to obey God. He had to do that. Now, understand that. Hang on. Now we got to get to us. Chapter 5 of Hebrews. And in Hebrews in chapter 5, and you would recall verse 9. Remember, going to read now, yeah. At the end of verse 8, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being perfect, complete, full, finished, he became, having done it, dying on the cross and finishing everything perfectly, our salvation, he became the author of eternal salvation. For whom? For all, unto all them that, there's your little word again, obey him. So, only the people that obey get saved. How's that? Hang on. Only the people who obey get saved. So therefore, I guess, I would want to know how that works, wouldn't you? Because how, that's MacArthur, think of all the different things, lordship, salvation, all that stuff. Are you obedient? That's what I ask. If it was me, are you obedient enough? Now, we would all have a problem raising our hand, wouldn't we? Obedient to what? We don't even know what to be obedient to. How are we going to be obedient? And when you start telling us, well, I don't like that, so we aren't going to be obedient. So therefore, who's going to be saved, right? That's what I'd say. So, but since I'm not out west there with MacArthur, I'll have to do it from the Bible. Okay, you ready? Let's go. And we'll exercise. Why not? over to Genesis. You can see how theological things start, can't you? And how they keep going? If you never answer them, it's this side believes this side, and but we don't believe that. But what do you believe? And why do you believe it? And how do you know it's true? Did this guy's ever take any time? No, they just believe it, because it says obedient. That's enough. He says it. Okay. Genesis. Genesis in chapter 2. Genesis in chapter 2. Picking up, please. In verse 17, you're familiar with it, but listen, watch it. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not and eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that's a warning, and that's instructions, true? That's instructions to tell you that everything is safe, don't eat of that tree. So that's instructions. Do you hear the instructions? See, hear the instructions? If you break and violate the instructions and don't do them, you're going to what? Die. Got that part? So therefore, over to chapter 3 and in verse 10, verse 11 better for time's sake, chapter 3, Genesis 11. And God said to Adam, who told thee that thou was naked? Thou hast thou eaten? Now God knew. He loves it. God's so good. Hast thou eaten? Have thou eaten? whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst what? Not eat. I commanded thee not to eat. I warned you. I gave it you hearing instructions. Don't do that. So, I'm looking at the word obedience in the Hebrew. It's the word to hear with the ear. Obedience. Are you hearing with the ear? Actually, an ear witness. Your ears witness what is said, and your heart shows what it said by obedience. Your ear witness. Did you hear it? I heard it, and I understand it. I'm not going to eat of the tree of the knowledge. I understand the instructions, the command. I understand. Now, having said that, you got that little bit? That's obedience. Obedience is to hear. And now, over to, if I can, over to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 19. What was Israel to do when they crossed the Red Sea? At Mount Sinai, where they're going to get the Ten Commandments ultimately, what were they to do, though, before they ever got them? They were to understand Exodus 19, verse 5. I'll read verse 4 because it's part of it. And you shall see, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you in eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. So they're straight before God at Mount Sinai. Verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will, what's your little word? If you will obey, my voice, hear me. Are you hearing me? That's the word. Obey, to hear. Ear witness. Are you hearing me? Now, therefore, verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure, personal and all of that, unto me, above all people that are, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, what were they to do? They were to obey. In other words, he's telling them wonderful truth. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. You're going to be a royal nation. You're going to be wonderful. My. Are you hearing me? See. That's all I want. Are you hearing me with a view to do it, to exercise? But they didn't. As you know, in verse 8, all that God has said. Verse 8, and the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will do. We heard you, but we didn't hear you. We didn't hear you. We didn't hear you. But make it easy. Are they going to walk away? Are they going to, at the foot of Mount Sinai, do they understand? Verse 5, they're a peculiar treasure to God. Do they understand they're a kingdom of priests? Do they understand they're a holy nation? Do they understand they're the greatest nation of ever? And they're a bunch of slaves that just got out of Egypt standing there looking. Do they understand that? No. No, they don't. That's why they can say, we'll do it. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear what I told you, because you couldn't possibly beat Egypt. You just left Egypt, marvelous kingdom of Egypt, civilization, kingdom. You couldn't possibly duplicate what they did in knowledge and everything. So you didn't, you can't, you're not, how can you be greater than them? Well, we aren't greater than them. So therefore, Exodus, the people were to obey, and they didn't. Over, if you would please, chapter 24. And chapter 24, picking up, please, in verse 8, verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant. Remember, God has given the Ten Commandments. Verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant and read in to the audience of the people. They're all hearing, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. They still aren't hearing it. He's giving them wonderful expectation to be a wonderful people. And then the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no idolatry, no other gods before me. Your relationship to humans, us to be perfect, perfect. That's what to be. Relationship to God, and then the last commandments, relationship to humans. Love God, love humans. Boom, boom. Did you hear? No, we didn't hear. So while we say, God's going to say, all that you're going to do, we'll do it, we'll do it. When people get baptized in these, no offense to anybody, in these systems, we get baptism, mother. But do you believe in the, I believe. You know, and they go through, will you obey? Using the phrase that they'd use. Do you will obey everything that God says? Oh, yes, I will. You don't even know what he said. So how can you say you're going to obey it? You don't know what he said. But we'll do it. Because that's an old problem. Understand? That's a very old problem. And people say, oh, I do. Oh, I don't listen to people. I watch them. They can say, I'll tell you whether you're saved. You guys can know. I'll tell you, I'm saved. I don't know that. I don't know that. God knows it, but I don't know it. And you may know it, but I don't. Anyway, now, so therefore, Deuteronomy. And chapter 4. And picking up, to catch the flavor as we move through history, move along. Chapter 4, and picking up, please, in verse 30. Well, in verse 29, if you remember, they're going to get scattered. God tells them before they ever cross the Jordan, they're going to get captivity, the Babylonian, the Assyrian, the Roman, all of that. They're going to get scattered. They're not going to be a nation as they could have been. They're not going to be. He tells them that they haven't even crossed the Jordan. And when that happens, then wherever you are, if you seek the Lord, verse 29, seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You're going to find him. Wow, that's wonderful. Verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, which is going to happen, tribulation, If you turn to the Lord, thy God, and they will, after 7 years of horrible, horrible treatment, conditions, and shall be, what? Obedient unto his voice. Are you going to hear him? You aren't going to listen, so the tribulation is going to start. This tribulation is going to be so awesome. Are you going to listen to the 144,000 out there speaking? Are you going to listen to the two witnesses in Jerusalem for 3.5 years? Are you going to listen to them? Oh, no, no, we aren't going to listen. No, I want to know if anyone's listening. Are you going to be hearing? Hearing, obey, obey to those that obey him, Hebrews 5. Now, so therefore, picking up in thought, chapter 8. This is going to take the tribulation. And chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 20. And as this is the end of the section. As the nations which the Lord destroyed, destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish. That's if you don't believe and get into idolatry. Because, why are they going to be in trouble? Because you would not be, what's the word? Obedient. You weren't obedient. You didn't hear me. Think of all the times God says, without we don't have time to do it, in Matthew 13, where we're doing the wheat and the tares and all that. He that hath an ear to what? He that hath an ear to hear. Are you hearing? Every church, Revelation 2:7, at the end of every all three of them. He that hath ears to hear. Are you hearing what the Spirit of God has just told you? Are you hearing? See? Are you hearing it? Walking away with it. No, I heard it. It went one ear and out the other. You see. I don't have it. So, therefore, if I can, in Deuteronomy, picking up, please, and verse 20, unto the voice. If that they're going to be judged because they aren't hearing. They aren't hearing. Deuteronomy 11. And you'll see it again. Deuteronomy 11. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Verse 27. A blessing if you will obey. If you obey me. Obey the what? The commandment. That's just what you just read in Genesis. I obey my commandment. Verse 27. I bless it if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I commanded you to this day. Are you hearing God and are you following that? Verse 28. And a curse if you will not obey. So either you obey or disobey. What's the definition of obedience? Obedience is giving full obedience, doing, willing, understanding your obligation to what is commanded, to understand your obligation to what is abstained. Do, don't do, based on the authority of the one who's saying it. If the judge, the Supreme Court judge, says do, guess what? Do. Why? Because there's nowhere else to go. If the Supreme Court says don't, you don't. You don't do it. Now, so therefore in chapter 11, I'm picking up, please, verse 27, 28, a curse, I'll read it. If you will not do the commandments of the Lord, your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I commanded you this day, to go after other gods, which you have not known. I told you, don't do that, but you did. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, chapter 28, wonderfully, that's where 28 comes in. And chapter 28, remember now, this is the sequence of blessings, awesome blessing. I'll read verse 1. It shall come to pass that if thou shalt diligently, If thou hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And, remember, we just read about blessing, obedience, unto verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Now remember, overtake, it's one thing for you to chase, the animal, and you try to catch the animal. I'm going to change that around. It's one thing for you to try to catch, to chase God. That'll come out. We're trying to chase God to get the blessing. I'm trying to run and grab God. I want to get God. It's hard to get God that way. What did you say? God said, you don't have to chase God. I will chase you. I will pursue you like the lion. To what? To bless you. I will pursue you to bless you. That's for real. Do you understand that? If you're going to obey. Are you hearing? I'm hearing God. Are you going to, God, I'm not walking away. I let it stay in my mind like the cow chewing. Hebrews 4, 2. Make sure you bring all this, keep chewing it till it's got everything to digest it. God, I'm going to digest. I don't quit. Digest. I'll think about it tomorrow. I'll let it absorb till it becomes part of my brain, part of my thinking. God, you're going to let it do that? Yeah. Okay. Now, all these blessings shall overtake you if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 2. And the whole list of blessings, wonderful, wonderful blessings. So what's that mean? Well, look at verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You're going to read that later. Wait, who can separate you from the love of God? God neither slumbers nor sleep. He's going to watch you when you're asleep. He's going to watch you when you're awake. He's going to watch you when you go out. He's going to watch you when you come in. God, what are we going to say? God said, listen, I'm going to be God. I'm going to bless you. Using Exodus 28. I'm going to bless you going out. I'm going to bless you coming in. Now, Israel didn't know that as a nation, but David did, and Joshua did. That's why they were so successful. Moses did. That's why they were successful. How could the people enjoy it? Because someone was leading that was being blessed. God's going to chase them. Do you understand? That's a wonderful thing. And you need to get to the point you experience that. No. You're supposed to experience that. Israel did, and we're way ahead of Israel. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to verse 15. And verse 15. It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, you're not going to listen, hear, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And now, here's the curses. They start in verse 16. Now, if you turn your pages, and chapter 28, and you're going to go all the way over to verse 66. I want you to see how long the curses are. I want you to see that. I mean, I have to tell you, that's one long list. And if you read that list, that's sobering. Israel could have learned, but God put them through each of the steps, process, to learn, to grow, to understand. Therefore, if I can, over to Romans. I hope, Dave, you're getting a little bit. I'm trying to help you obey. You know, obey. I don't want to have to obey. That's our trouble. That's the trouble. But you have to obey. You have to, it's the law. Do you obey? Well, it's a silly thing. Do you obey the laws of gravity? I'm looking for the opponent. How come you guys all obey the law of gravity? How come you do that? Couldn't you go on the roof and jump? Well, no. Why? Because it's the law. And you obey the law. You heard the law, you know the law, you don't do it. Because you fall. You know it. We obey. Therefore, Romans chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. And picking up, you'll catch it quickly, and I gotta quit. Chapter 5, sliding over to verse 19, you'll catch it in the context. Chapter 5, Romans, verse 19. Remember now, for as one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners. Hang on for that. You'll catch that in the morning illustration. For as by one man's disobedience, not obedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, our Lord, what did you read in Hebrews 5:8? He was obedient. He suffered being obedient. He had to, thy will be done, not my will, God. And that's what he said. I hear you. I'm here for your will. I'm not here for my will. I heard you. Therefore, verse 19, for by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I hope you got a little bit on wonderful obedience. Don't let words louse you up. Try to understand them. Get an understanding of things so you can walk with them. Wow. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.